What's up, everybody? This is Pastor Shannon Williams, and you're watching the KTF podcast. That stands for Keeping the Faith, because that's what we're all about. We want to defend the faith and stand for truth. I'm your host, Pastor Shannon Williams, and I believe that you're going to want to stay plugged into this one because we have a lot to discuss today. But before we jump in, I want to remind you right now, just share this wherever you are. If you're on Facebook, share it. If you are on another platform, help us get the word out, because KTF is expanding in 2025. And so we thank you for being here. We appreciate your support. You guys are awesome. We are excited because we have rearranged and we virtually have a brand new configuration right here in our studios. So you may think that we have a brand new spot. You may think that, but we don't. But we've changed the locations of the cameras. We've changed the location. I'm actually looking at PBJ, which is kind of weird. So, but here we go. I want to introduce PBJ right across from me. He's got a brand new spot. What's up?
What's happening? What's going on, everybody?
And of course, we have B Mizzle in the house.
Word up, America. How y'all doing?
You're doing all the way down there.
I'm at the head of the table.
He is at the head of the table. How did he get that position?
How do I manage this?
I
like it, though.
You look like a supervisor.
I got my eye on you.
What's funny here is I can't see anything. They can all see everything that's going on because the screen's behind me. I see nothing.
It's okay. We don't want you distracted, bro. I mean, you don't need any more distractions whatsoever. I mean, your brain can just do all of whatever by itself.
Just imagine.
I just know that red shirt is popping.
It's popping.
Looking good.
All right. Popping is what we're getting ready to talk about. That's what's popping. So this episode of KTF, we are actually going to be discussing, if we have time, this is going to be our favorite go-to scripture and our most challenging scripture.
Yeah.
The scriptures that we read and we're like, oh, man, that one's a tough one. And so if you're watching right now, what I want you to do is I want you to type in what your favorite scripture is and what your most challenging scripture is. And we'll just we'll figure this thing out, and we'll just share the word of God, share the podcast, and we'll all be blessed tonight because it's going to be amazing. All right. First up, we got B Mizzle. What is your favorite go-to scripture?
Well, you know, when you join Finish Line Christian Center ministry team, you're challenged to learn 20 verses, right? You know, in a short amount of time, a few weeks. So you got to memorize, know it by heart.
What's the purpose in that?
So you can use it later in life. You know, when you're putting it into your well so you can dig it out.
There you go.
And man, you know, I've always had favorite verses and this and that. But when I did that program of learning the 20 verses, I've preached on those verses. I've used those verses so many times. It was a great, great challenge. Great, except you know.
So it was a good training.
Part
of that training that was a good piece of it.
Yes, exactly right. That's exactly right. But one of my favorite ones that I dug out of that was Galatians 2:20.
Okay.
And it says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, that's Paul talking.
Yeah.
Paul had been a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had known the law, and he was he was a mighty man of the word. But he says, all that law did was kill me. Mm. You know, he said, I'm dead to all that. I'm dead to that old Paul. And I read this verse.
He was accomplished.
Yeah.
It's not like he, okay, so he did kill Christians, right? He did
persecute them. Absolutely.
But it's not like he was a bad, you know, like he was a drunk and he was laying out on the side of the road and he didn't have any accomplishments in life. The man was amazingly talented, smart.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, he was able to accomplish a lot in his life. So his transition was really a supernatural transition. It wasn't I'm from the bottom of the barrel, so to speak, of the dregs of society.
Yeah.
But he was like, my life is what I used to live. It's now gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. And that old man is dead. And I can't preach this enough to anybody. That old Brian no longer lives. You know, yeah. Jesus, he said he loved me. That's past tense.
Yeah.
I mean, that was before I was born, he loved me.
Yes.
And he went to that cross for me. Yeah. Before he knew I was going to snort all them drugs and do all that bad stuff, he loved me enough to die for me.
Yeah. Come
on. That's what this verse tells me.
Come on.
He loved me so much. He loves you. We get hung up on Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. No, we need to get to the past tense. Jesus loved you before he was born. But I mean, before he was in the manger, before the earth was created, he loved Ben John. You know, we got to get to that realization.
That's good.
This love is so powerful. The love that Jesus had. You know, this verse, Paul speaking, but we got to claim this verse.
Yeah.
You know, this is my verse. This verse was written for me. Mm-hmm. We got to put our name on it. We got to read the Bible like this Bible was written just for me. Every
That's right.
Of it.
Yeah. That's right.
You know,
what he's saying is also, he's like, listen, Christ is the one that's living through me. Mm. It's not me. It's Christ.
Right.
I'm not sitting here saying I'm going to do my will. I'm going to do my thing. I'm out with ambitions of my own. I am now a subject and a servant of Jesus.
That's right.
And so if you're going to see me, you're going to see Christ actually living through me.
That's right. Shannon Williams he's dead. He's crucified.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Jesus living through you.
That's right. We must crucify our flesh the way Jesus' flesh was physically crucified. We crucify our flesh, and we do that supernaturally, spiritually, yes. Daily.
Yep.
And we allow Christ to live through us. Mm-hmm. He said, the life I now live, I kind of like that transition.
Yeah.
He goes from, I'm crucified with Christ, I no longer live, Christ lives in me. The life I now live,
yep.
Meaning
yep.
Something different is happening
something
right
changed.
Now. Yeah. There's something different about now and then.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My now is greater than my then. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people will have that testimony. They'll say, you know, well, I used to do this, and I used to
Come
be
on.
Like this, and I used to think like this. Well, that was then. This is now.
Yes. Yeah.
And we must understand that God has given us a brand new thing in life.
Yeah. Yes.
And we got to start living a new life.
That's
not
right.
Not the old ways, not the old mm-hmm. thoughts, and transformation taking place in a believer's life that can only come through the power of Jesus, man.
And,
you can't think your way into it.
No.
You can't go into a 12-step program and it change you. You can't get a new relationship, a new house, a new car.
Right.
You can't buy anything and transform your life.
There's no substitution.
Yeah. That's right. It's
for the love of Jesus.
Only through Jesus.
You know, and the enemy will keep you bound up on that past. How many people do I talk to? How many old friends? And they want to just rehash the old times and the old, you know, what used to be. Forget about all that. That old man's dead. You know, he's buried. I'm a new man. You know, don't bring that stuff up. Don't let the enemy use that to torment you.
Yeah. How have you used this scripture in your life since you've been saved and been a minister? How have you utilized this verse or give us some insight about what this verse truly, how is this special? Tell us what makes this one real special.
Well, you know, we was in the prayer team meeting the other day, and Pastor Eric was sharing on I am. Jesus is I am the bread.
Yeah.
I am the way.
Right.
I am the door. I am the great I am. You know, Jesus and God keep saying, I am, I am. And there's no I in church is what he was getting at.
Yeah.
There's no pride. We got to crucify pride, right? Mm-hmm. And this verse kept coming up. I am crucified with Christ. That's the only I am.
If you want to tout something, you're like, I did this. I said this. I accomplished this. And you got Paul over here saying, I am crucified. That's what I am.
That's exactly right. You know, and I don't compare my life to Paul by no means. He's an apostle and a great man.
Absolutely.
You know, but he had a past. Mm-hmm. You know, he killed Christians. He did some things he's not proud of.
True.
But he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament because he crucified himself.
Yeah.
You know, that just shows me there's hope for me yet. There's hope for you yet.
Yeah.
If you're out there and you're wondering, you're struggling, you know. It's God can use anybody.
That's right.
And
that's right.
You know, don't get hung up on Oh, I'm too bad. I used to, you know, I hear that all the time. I've done too much. God won't accept me. I've done too much. Yeah. No, he loved you. He loved you enough to die for you.
There's only one unforgivable sin, and that is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That's the only unforgivable sin. And the reason why that one's unforgivable is because you have to reject the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you reject the Holy Spirit, you can't be saved.
You know, my old pastor used to say, well, if you're even thinking that you blasphemed the Holy Spirit, you haven't blasphemed the Holy Spirit. If it's even, you know, if you're, I think I might have. No, you haven't. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the total denial of the Holy Spirit and Jesus
completely
Christ.
Turning away.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Awesome. Man, I love that scripture. It's powerful. At the end, it says, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
What he means by giving himself is he gave himself as the sacrifice in place of us.
For
we,
me.
We should be getting the punishment.
Yeah, that's right.
We should be receiving the cross. We should be receiving the nails. Yeah. We should be receiving all of this because we're the ones that did wrong.
That's right.
Christ stepped in for us, the sacrificial Lamb of God. Praise the Lord.
How do we manage this? How do we? It's by faith. You know, faith is the currency of heaven.
Amen.
You know what? There, we just got to believe that Jesus said what he said and did what he did.
Yeah.
You know, blessed is the man who hasn't seen, right? You know,
still believes.
Still believes. That's right. So we actually got it better than the apostles had because they seen him. We didn't get to see him, and yet we believe.
Yeah.
You know, our testimony is going to be just as great or greater.
Come on.
You know, when we get there. They're going to say, man, dude, you believed, and you didn't even see him. I didn't believe him, and I fished with him, you know?
Yeah.
So.
That's cool.
I didn't even fish with Jesus.
Yeah.
I didn't even get on the boat with Jesus.
I think that's the cool thing, though, man, is just sitting back, and you're strengthening your faith just by, you know, Jesus is right here beside us. He's in this room with us right now. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it's right here with us. We can't see it, but we know he's here.
Yeah.
Well, he's the power in us.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. That's the amazing part. He's the power in us.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that he is a person. It would be really cool to have Jesus outside right here sitting in this room. I think it'd be amazing. I would love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd want to ask him questions.
Yeah.
I'd find out information. Like, I'd want to talk to him, but he accomplished his job.
Yeah.
Right? His job was to come and deal with the sin of mankind so we could turn around and have empty and clean vessels that he could fill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we are walking, talking, breathing vessels of God.
Yeah.
So when people see us, they should see God. And they hear us, they should hear the Lord. And we should be ambassadors of heaven.
Yeah.
Come on. That's good.
It's good.
All right. That was a good one. PBJ, you're next. What is your favorite scripture, your go-to scripture, you're like, man, this is my jam?
I'm gonna have to say Psalm 144:1.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Yeah.
Say it again. 144:1.
144:1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. There's a couple other versions out there where it says instead of strength, it says rock. Instead of teach, it says trains. Instead of fight, it says battle. All means the same thing. Long time ago, back when I played paintball, my team asked me, he was like, all right, we want to be a Christian team and we want a Bible verse. So I went through.
Is this the one?
This is the one. This is the one. And I would yell this before we got on the field, while we were on the field.
Battle
like,
cry.
This is it. This was it, man. I was like, teach my hands to warm, my fingers to fight. Because when you're playing paintball, man, your fingers are going, you're hitting that trigger, man, and it's going. But the really cool thing I really like about this, and I broke this scripture down a little bit. So,
okay, let's hear it.
God is your rock, a stable source and support that strengthens you through life storms. You know, God has to be your stability. God has to be your rock, your foundation. God's teaching, He teaches you and trains us to use our hands to ready our swords, you know, the Bible, the Word, and use our fingers to turn the pages through the Word. You know, you can't just hold this.
Ooh,
you have to
on.
Open it up. You can't, you know, you can't just, I got a Bible, sits on the shelf, sits on the bookshelf, you know, it's collecting a layer of dust, you know, you got to turn this, you got to open it up, you got to use your hands to flip through this. God's providence teaches you not only to be trained up, but to fight as well. Mm. Yeah.
You know, David wrote this. David was a warrior,
but,
man.
But okay, so let's talk about that because the context is key.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Bible says that, you know, we should not kill, right? Mm-hmm. But David, obviously, the Bible says they wrote songs about him and sang songs that David killed his tens of thousands. So what's the perspective now? I mean, we read this now. How do we apply scripture like this? The Lord is our rock. He does train us for war and our fingers for battle. But what kind of warfare should we be prepped for?
God's people in battle. The battle, the fight that God's people face is that of spiritual warfare.
Yes, that's right.
Spiritual warfare.
We wrestle not.
Yeah.
We wrestle not.
It's light versus dark. Heaven versus hell. Spiritual warfare. You diving, getting, studying this word, knowing the Bible, reading it, praying, having faith. You applying that to your everyday life. You knowing what this is, you memorizing it, you understanding it, you believing it, you taking it and using it every single day, using it as your sword, going into battle, you were able to go against spiritual warfare. You were able to participate in spiritual warfare when the enemy comes against you, when the demons, the devils, they come against you, you are able to combat against that. Not only that, you're going to have people out in the world that are going to say things that are going to try to discount you. They're going to try to come against the Bible. They're going to say it's not true, not real. They're going to try to say that there's a lot of disruption going on, that some of the scriptures aren't true. And you can say, well, this one corresponds with this one, and it shows that it's true, and it shows that it's real, that it shows that it happened. And then the final part that I have in here is God's blessing. We give honor and glory and praises to God for blessing us and being his hands and feet in battle. Mm-hmm. God blesses us through this because he is our rock. He is our back. He is our strength. And God is going to give you whatever need, the tools you need, the ability to do so, to go against whatever it is you're having to face and fight. Yeah. You know.
He's our rock.
He's our rock. He's our strength.
If we don't build on him,
he's our strong tower.
I mean, we're gonna lose.
Yeah,
like literally, you will lose every battle unless you build upon him.
That's exactly right. When you go into a situation, you know, this is another verse that this wasn't one of my original 20 that when I became a minister, but I've added to that.
Mm-hmm.
Every month I pick another one, and this is one I picked, and this is how I remembered that verse. Blessed is the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war. So your hand, the war is the big part. Your hand, my fingers for battle. Because you're going to have battles every day. You're going to have individual battles. Just like you had the Battle of Shiloh. Well, that was part of the Civil War. So that's how I remembered it. My fingers were the battles. My hand was the war, right?
Okay.
And that's how I remembered the verse. That's how, you know. But blessed is the Lord my rock. When you go into a battle, when you go into a war, spiritually, because that's what I think. Well, David was physically battling too.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm not going anywhere without my rock.
Right.
You know, I've got to stand on something. I'm not going nowhere. Because blessed is the Lord who carries me through these battles. Yeah. He knew. He knew who was helping him with. He couldn't slay 10,000 people by himself, but without God.
Right.
So he was like, blessed is the Lord, my rock. Mm-hmm. He knew the foundation that he stood on, and he knew the challenges that he was facing. Now, what part of his life he wrote this, I'm not real sure, but he went.
He was in a battle. He was expressing his trust and for God's protection and provision and help. But one the part here that I really, when it comes to light for me, is this. He says, "You know, who trains my hands for war? He is trainable. Mm-hmm. He is teachable.
Come on."
When he was wrong with Bathsheba, God sent Nathan by to tell him, you're the man.
Yep.
And he repented. You know, we read where he repented, where he came before the Lord and said, create in me a clean heart. So you have to be teachable.
Yeah.
You have to be trainable. You cannot be a rogue Christian. Yeah. You have to listen to the voice of God and follow his instructions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many times did God say, this is how you're going to win the battle? The children of Israel listened and they won. Yeah. When they disobeyed and didn't do what he said, they lost.
Come on.
And so we have to be teachable, you know, because people say, God's my rock and he's training me for war and I'm doing this. It's like, you don't listen to God.
That's exactly that's exactly the point. You got to listen to the Lord.
That's right.
You know, but so many people think they hear the Lord, and they're not hearing
the
Lord.
They're not hearing God.
And that's
not everybody that says they heard the Lord heard the Lord.
Come on.
Yeah.
Because God don't speak that nonsense that y'all be speaking out here sometimes. Yeah. The Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that. It's like,
everybody's
I don't know what
word.
Lord you serve, but when the Lord speaks to me, it is powerful. Yeah. It is revelatory. It is life changing. When my God speaks, dead people get out of the ground. When my God speaks, lives are changed eternally. When my God speaks, it will literally shake the foundations.
Yeah. Praise God.
You know what I'm saying?
Preach. Absolutely.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, I got one. Y'all want to hear mine?
Sure.
Yeah. Come on.
All right. Here we go. This is probably no shock to anybody in this room right now, but my scripture, my go-to, my favorite one of all time, the one where we built this church off of, the vision, is 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. I really don't even have to read it because I got this one. I got it down pat.
You got it memorized.
Yes, it's Paul talking to Timothy, and he's sharing his heart. He's talking to him. You've got an older Paul. He's transitioning. You can tell he's getting older, and this is a younger Timothy, and Timothy's in a different position than him. And he's saying, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, and not to me alone, but to all those that love his appearing.
Amen. That's beautiful.
Isn't it beautiful?
It is.
That I read that and I hear those words, and I tell you, it brings hope.
Yeah.
It just brings hope because Paul, he fought battles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He did. Listen, this easy faith that people tout today, oh, just, you know, pray a prayer, give the Lord your heart, pray a simple prayer, and you're saved. It's so easy. It's so simple. And they just go and live life however they want with this greasy grace and sloppy agape, just God's love, God's grace. Yeah. And they just live like hellions and do whatever. And it's like, oh, I don't ever get battles. I never get tempted. I never get all this stuff. I'm just whatever. Well, obviously, you're not living the same life and lifestyle Paul
That's
had.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Because Paul had to fight. He was preaching the gospel. He had haters. He got shipwrecked. He got stoned to death. I mean, the guy was all over the place.
Yeah.
And why? Because he had an encounter with God on the road to Damascus. Yes. It changed his whole world.
Yeah.
And he's saying, listen, I have fought a good fight.
Yeah.
The Christian faith is a good fight.
That's exactly right.
It's a good fight to fight. And I finished my course. That word is race.
Yeah.
The original Greek is race. What's at the end of the race? A finish line. I believe you're going to fight to get to the finish line.
Come on.
I don't think you're going to walk, you know, like, what's that, tiptoe through the tulips? You know, it's like, I'm going to tiptoe through the tulips, and we're just going to, you know, sing Kumbaya all the way to heaven, and it's just going to be, no, you're going to fight devils. You're going to fight temptation. You're going to fight hell. You're going to fight some so-called Christians. Yeah. You're going to fight the religious people. Yeah. You're going to fight.
Yeah.
You may fight. You may have to end up getting in situations where you're actually fighting other people who call themselves believers.
Come on.
Yeah.
But you're going to fight something. I can guarantee it. And I didn't fight spiritual battles as much until I decided to follow the path that God had for me.
Yeah.
When I followed the path for him, that's when I started seeing the fight is getting heavier and heavier. Mm-hmm. And so he says this, I fought, I've ran a race, and I've kept the faith.
Yeah.
All of those are active things. I had to keep it. Why do you have to keep it? Because things are trying to steal your faith, rob your faith, destroy your faith.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, what I love about this is, yeah, he's battled. Paul's probably on his deathbed, getting near at the end.
He's probably close.
He's still pouring out to a young man.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what Somebody told me one time, always have a Paul in your life and always have a Timothy. Have somebody pulling you and you be pulling somebody else.
Yeah.
I like that.
Always be pouring into somebody.
Yes. Be pouring into somebody. Wisdom.
Yeah.
And somebody be pouring into you. Find you a Paul in life. You know, you ain't too far. You ain't got there yet. You know, a lot of people think, oh, I know it all. I'm good. Me and God's good. No, you don't know.
I don't like those people.
Yeah. Yeah. So
those people are not, they end up being really ugly and rude.
Yeah.
Fact. They're like, no, I know it all. I've arrived. I've achieved. Yeah, you can't teach me anything. I mean, honestly, there are people who want to be mature. They teach Bible studies. They do all this other stuff. And yet they don't go to certain functions at their church because they think they're better than that. Oh,
come on.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not going to that thing. I already know that. I already know this. Well, if you already know that, then why don't you show up and be an assistant to help pour into somebody else who does? You know, but actually, I think you can learn something too.
Yeah.
I learn stuff all the time.
Yeah. I could read the same scripture 20, 30 times over and I get something new from it.
Amen.
I mean, it's fine.
Amen.
It's okay.
We're all running a race.
Yeah.
And we run different races.
Yeah.
I'm a little slower.
We're
going the same direction. Like, you might be the turtle.
Facts. I mean,
you know. He might be the hare. I might be some other animal.
You're a hedgehog.
Sonic the hedgehog. I don't know, but maybe I'm something, but it doesn't matter. Each of us have a path and a race to run.
Yeah.
And it's like running the race. Mm-hmm. You ever seen people run in these marathons and they have numbers and it's like a paper on their chest on the front and back?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's your number. Right. You can't run half the race and take it off and say, hey, can you finish this race for me real quick. Can you? You know, I'm just tired. No, that's your number. That's your race. God's called you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can run it for you.
Doesn't he say I finished my course or is it the course?
My course.
My course.
Yeah.
So you got your course. I got mine, right?
Yeah.
We're all trying to get to heaven. That's the goal. That's the prize.
As many with us as we can.
That's right. But exactly. But your race is going to be a little bit different than mine.
Yeah.
You know? We're not on the same... we're not going to have the same course, so to speak.
Yeah, well, you might have a couple more hurdles than I do.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, you know, people have different talents. You know, the parable of the talents in the Bible, they were different. Everybody's different. I had a conversation with a gentleman not too long ago, and he told me, he said, you know, I have to stop myself sometimes because we're close. And he goes, I look at your church, and he goes, and I compare your church to my church. And I was like, why do you do that? You can't do that. And I said, here's the difference. You've been going this long. You've been going several years, just a couple years. I've been doing this. This finish line's been going 17 years. So you cannot, it's not even on the same playing field to compare that.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking he probably is way better off than where I was in that time frame.
Yeah.
What he's cultivated is probably far advanced because I didn't have the help. I didn't have certain resources and certain things. So, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's in a different spot.
Yes.
Yeah. But see, we should encourage each other to run the race God's called us to run.
That's right.
And not be like, you know, I wish they would fail. I wish they would. There's too many people trying to trip people up in the race.
That's terrible. You know, especially in the church. You know, we're all... But I've seen it so often, so recently, if I'm saying that correctly, of how many churches compare themselves to other churches. You know, you've got your own flock. You're gonna do it a little bit different, you know, than Finish Line, than anybody else. We're not going to do it like Bethel. We're not going, you know, you name it. We're just going to be different.
There's
just no way around it. Not saying that they got it right and we got it wrong, or we got it right and they got it wrong. Yeah. But our race is different. You know, they got a different group of people. They got, you know, we attract a different type of person, you know. So don't compare yourselves to any other ministry.
We're all trying to get to the finish line, but how we get there maybe is a little different.
That's exactly right.
There's one path.
Yeah.
And it's through Jesus.
That's it.
We focus on that.
Not no many ways.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the path, but we have to walk our path with him.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, but the second part of that is I really like, he goes, this is the result. because I fought through, because I ran my race, because I've kept the faith, this is what's going to happen. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Yes. And that's what
gives it to him? The righteous judge.
These are strong words. If you stop and you listen to this.
You're going before a court. This is a judge is over a court, right?
Yep.
So he's got this crown. You're going in there for you running your race.
That's right.
Who's going to give it to you? The righteous judge. Mm-hmm. God himself is going to place that crown upon your head.
Yeah. Mm. And he said, he's going to give it to me.
Yep.
Could you imagine the Lord actually handing you your crown? God, I don't even know if I could handle it. I think I'd just fall down in the floor. Mm-mm-mm. You know, he's going to give it to me at that day. And what I really love is that he says, and not to me only.
Yeah, that's the best part.
This ain't just for me. Yeah. This is not something that I've achieved or I've done. This is something that's for all people and all believers. But unto all them also that love his appearing. There's going to be people that hate his appearing.
Ooh,
they can't stand it when Jesus shows up.
Come on.
But there's going to be a whole remnant of people that are looking forward to the Holy Spirit and what God is doing and showing up. You know, you can get excited about Jesus coming, but there's a lot of people that are not going to be excited about his coming.
How many people, when the Lord appears, are going to be distracted?
They're not even looking for him.
They're over here like this.
Oh.
The Lord.
They're on the phone.
What happened to everybody?
Oh, man. Well, I tell you what, this has been some really, really good talk scriptures.
Yeah. Breaking down scriptures.
What do you guys think about our favorite scriptures? John, what's yours? What's your favorite scripture back there?
Oh, you got a few.
Mic up here for a second.
He said, I got a few. let's let John chime in on this.
Psalm 23:5, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over.
Come on. What is it about that scripture that gets you?
So I like it because it shows that God's going to take care of us regardless of the enemies that we may come across. He's going to bless us openly in front of our enemies.
Yes.
And he gives out blessings freely. Abundantly.
And if we'll follow him, he's a real good shepherd.
That's right.
He knows what he's doing. Yeah. That's awesome. I love that verse. I tell you what, I could preach that verse. I love that scripture in Psalms 23. It's a blessing. I love it. And it really helps me a lot.
I visualize scripture, right? So I could visualize we're just sitting there just eating our porridge and just all hell just breaking out.
Why does it got to be porridge?
I don't know.
Holy cow. But all the things you can imagine us eating.
A porridge way.
And he pulls out porridge. Makes me think of, what is it, Goldilocks?
Yeah, that's what that's
Goldilocks.
Porridge and way. Yeah.
She goes in and she eats this porridge. It's too hot. One's too cold.
I was going to be just right.
This was just right.
Porridge and whey protein.
I don't even know. I don't even know what porridge is.
I think it's like oatmeal. Maybe.
Somebody comment on there.
Somebody bring Pastor Shane some porridge.
If porridge is like oatmeal, I can understand. Okay. Yeah, it'd be good. You know, maybe for a meal on a cold day.
Like stone would be like a rice pudding or something.
I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. We don't know what porridge is, but we got some favorite Bible verses. We hope you guys have enjoyed this podcast on the KTF podcast from the KTF newly redesigned studios. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time to be here with us today. And as always, we're going to remind you to do what? Keep the faith
to the finish line.
There we go.
Eat your porridge.